Today on Real Life Radio.
When God the Father, in his righteousness, it's the nature of God. When he views a sinner that's been redeemed, he sees the righteousness of his son Jesus. Listen, you may or may not take the salvation work of Christ seriously at the cross, but guess who does? God the Father does. God looks at the cross and he says, I will forgive all those who are behind that cross.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues in the book of Philippians with a message called Finders Keepers, Losers Winners. Now, the book of Philippians is an unusually warm and deeply personal letter from Paul. Here now, as we continue in chapter 3, we find that when it comes to Jesus Christ, all else is considered a loss when compared to the greatness of knowing him. You see, the desire to save ourselves, it's part of our fallen nature, isn't it? But the Bible tells us that if we try to save our lives for our own sakes, we're going to lose it. It's only those who lose their life for Christ's sake will find eternal life in heaven. There really is no profit in gaining status or recognition, power, influence, or money if we lose our souls in the process. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our transformation after receiving Christ as our Savior, that needs to be something that can be observed and witnessed by others. Our faith in Jesus is not only based on evidence, but it's in our actions as well. Now, in his message called Finders Keepers, Losers Winners, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
No, and the second thing is this, in verse 8, is that Paul teaches us accounting terms, accounting biblical truth for ourselves. What does that mean? Concluding. He says, and counting them as rubbish. All of these achievements of religious acts or status, he says rubbish. The word is amazing. I'm not going to elaborate because it's actually too graphic to talk about. There's young people here in the service. The word rubbish here, I'll simply put, the word means waste, like human waste, dung, human waste. That's the word he used. Wow. Paul is speaking of himself, all of my achievements. The word means a wild dog won't even get near this stuff. A wild dog will get near about anything. But if there's human waste on the path, the dog's going down there, it's like, boop! The dog will just, And Paul says, that's my acts of righteousness without God. He does the math, and it's beautiful. Paul does the math, but it's God's numbers. He comes to this conclusion. I'm a big loser. Nothing I can do can impress God. Can't save myself, but God sent Jesus. And so I do the math, and God has asked me to believe what Jesus has done for me, and I'm going to do that. And the moment that happens, God's mathematics is all that Jesus Christ's merits provide are now deposited like a keyboard stroke or like the moving of a mouse. Click. The righteousness of God is labeled over your life. This is pure theology. You say, I don't feel it. He didn't ask you if you feel it. God said, this is what I do. So if you could see what I can see, there's 3,000 people sitting here right now. That's a lot of people, a lot of faces. You know what? It gets real personal if I do this. Right now, I can only see you. Okay, like this. Go ahead and do this. I need all of you to do this. Come on. Okay, do this. All of a sudden, look how small. Look around. Just don't look at me. I'm the only, look around. I don't know what's with some of you. You just can't do it. You're just like, I'm too righteous to do this. So here's the deal. In the vast crowd, imagine, God looks at you. The Bible tells us that God sees us in Christ Jesus, inside. You go to Russia, you get the Matryoshka dolls. Inside a doll is inside a doll, inside a doll, inside a doll. You're in Christ. God looks at you. Listen. For you, he's the person, Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. That means he sees the masses. He died for the sins of the world, but he's so amazing because he does this with you. I see you. And the beautiful thing is because you're in Christ, God the Father looks and he's looking And he sees what? Does he see Jack? He sees Jesus. Jesus, where's Jack? Jack's in me. I got him covered, Father. He's in me. When God the Father, in his righteousness, it's the nature of God. When he views a sinner that's been redeemed, he sees the righteousness of his son, Jesus. Listen, you may or may not take the salvation work of Christ seriously at the cross, but guess who does? God the Father does. God looks at the cross and he says, I will forgive all those who are behind that cross, who are hidden behind that cross. And he'll do it. And he does it. And when that happens, you are transformed. There's no more any rules to keep. Did you know that? No more rules. Rules don't apply to my life anymore. Because it's love. You say, what do you mean? If the speed limit's 55 miles an hour, if I love God, I'll go 54, I'll go 55. If I love me, I'll go 56, I'll go 106. The faster I go, the more love I have for me. Think about it. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not, and thou shalt not. No, not for the Christian. It's I don't have to, I don't have to, and I don't have to. It's no longer rules. It's I know what God did for me. I love him for it. And so I want to obey him because Father knows best. Big difference. Who are you today? And then finally, we'll end with this quickly, is verse 9. Finders, keepers, losers, winners, it's only true. Verse 9, if my life is lost in his. And being found in him, there you go. Not having my own righteousness, my own standards. No more judging other people and criticizing them about what they did and didn't do. The answer or the question, I should say, is do they know Jesus? Which is from the law. I can keep the law. Paul says, you can keep it. Go ahead. Even if you can. It's not going to save you because he says, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Think of it. Finders, keepers, losers, winners. How is that? By putting your faith in Jesus Christ and in him alone. The remarkable thing, church, I read this week, in a book about Mardi Gras. I don't know if you've ever been to Mardi Gras. I've never been to Mardi Gras. It's kind of, after reading it, it's a very twisted, strange thing. Very perverse. You don't want to type in Mardi Gras and then click on images. Not good. Mardi Gras is actually a religious event. Did you know that? Yeah, it is. I thought it was very, very illicit and very erotic and very pornographic. It is. It's a religious event. Before you go into your religious duties, you live it up. And you know how you do it? You put on a mask. And check this out. Every year, the Salvation Army puts up on billboards and banners throughout New Orleans, God sees behind your mask. Isn't that great? What a quench, right? Where's the ACLU? They're going to sue the Salvation Army for making people feel bad. Hey, people could be like normal people. It's like, oh, just hello. Oh, here. Nice to meet you. And then they put on a mask. And what comes out when you put on the mask?
The worst.
Yeah. Who are you? The real person comes out when you put the mask on. I always wanted to do this. Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that was in you. Put on a mask. You can be a weirdo because they can't identify you. And Salvation Army just throws a cold blanket on the whole thing and says, God sees behind your mask. Is that, listen, that is true. Man, that's powerful. The only answer is for me to be in Christ, not in my own righteousness. And then look at the end of verse 9. That which is through faith in Jesus or faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Isn't this amazing? By faith. Wait. Listen, I want to read this to you and then we'll end. This is awesome. Faith is believing in someone based on the evidence and then acting upon it. Faith is believing in someone or something based on the evidence and then acting upon it. That's awesome. In a moment, you're going to get up, you're going to get in your car. You have faith in your car. You have faith that's going to start. You have faith that you're going to go eat today. You have faith that your body's going to be able to process the food you eat. Think of it. You have faith that the sun's going to come up tomorrow, all based on evidence. What's the evidence? The evidence is that it's always happened that way. Thus, I depend on that happening. Faith in Jesus Christ today is based on the evidence. Question, is the word of God true? Can it stand the test of inquiry? Is the archaeological evidence of the Bible true? Are the scientific claims of the Bible true? Is the historicity of the Bible true? Question, more ethereal, but still quantitative. You could qualify this. Does the Bible's teaching change people's lives? Is there any evidence of that? You've got to ask yourself these questions. Your faith is founded upon evidence. And so I want to ask you today, we're going to close in this. I'm going to ask you, Christians, please be praying right now. Pray for those that are around you. But I'm going to ask you, will you be thinking honestly enough to make this conclusion that up until now, you have thought yourself to be pretty cool? And you're pretty good. And you've never owned up to your own nature of being a sinner, ostracized from God because we have all sinned. And you have been able to look at other people and say, yeah, man, pastor, I agree. That guy's a sinner. She's a sinner. He's a sinner. But I'm kind of okay. Listen, you're in great peril. But maybe today God has spoken to your heart. And I'm going to invite you to be a loser like the rest of us and thereby win. I'm going to ask you to find Jesus today. And he has promised to keep you for the rest of your life. He'll transform you. Let's pray together. Father, I pray now, Lord, I invite you. Even when, Lord, I was speaking earlier about the thought of a church not having you in it just causes almost like cold air to go down my spine. The thought of that would be the saddest thing in the world, that you could not be in a church like the church at Laodicea. You're knocking on the door trying to get into a church. I pray that that would never happen here. I pray that it would never happen in my life personally or in any one of us. But Father, I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that there'd be those today that would shed fear, they would shed intimidation, that they would not allow the opinions of other people, the thoughts of other people, to keep them in a prison of emotion, that today they would decide you once and for all, that they would say yes to Jesus. So Father, I pray now that you would move in the midst of this place in Jesus' name. If God is speaking to your heart today, that you would get up and you'd come forward and you'd stand right here. And I'll lead you guys who come forward into prayer. I won't embarrass you. I will not do anything like that. But I'm going to ask you to consider this. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before people, I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. Maybe today you have come into this building a very moral citizen, but you're lost. You've never desperately had the crisis of disillusionment about yourself and a panic, as it were, over your own soul. What in the world am I going to do when God looks behind my mask? And God is speaking to you. And if he's speaking to you today, I'm going to ask you to get up and you stand right up front here. I know it's terrifying, but it's nothing compared for the day that's coming. If I could make you a little uncomfortable with that invitation, imagine the day when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords makes his determination. But the Bible, Jesus said it himself, to all those who receive him, to them he will give power to become sons and daughters of God. If you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the grave, as the Bible says, and you want him to forgive you, if you want a new life, as we sing this song, you come forward and you stand right up here. You respond to what God is saying to you. So you come. There may be some of you today that you're here and you have thoughts like this, because it's inevitable. You have thoughts like this. It's like, okay, I need to do this. Today's not the day. I got to get to that sale, or I got to go sign up for Israel. I'll do it some other day. I want you to know that's God speaking to you. That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. He's so gentle. Don't you wish sometimes he'd just slap you, grab you by the ear and pull you down? He won't do that. He will not do that. If quietly in your soul you're thinking, man, if there's that pause, if there's that doubt, that question, trust me, you respond to him, and the moment you get up and start moving, all of that inhibition will leave. It's almost like you're walking through a wall. Right now, it's like, what are people going to think? And my family, my kids, my mom. Don't let the fear of man be that snare. On that final day, it will be just you and Jesus. No one else will hold your hand in eternity. And for those who trust him, he will reach out and take your hand. How cool is that going to be? Can you imagine? You drop dead and you open up your eyes and Jesus is smiling, reaching out to you. It will never get better than that. If you want to make sure you come forward, listen, you got like 30 seconds, okay? You can make it. From the back to here, you can run in 30 seconds. So you come right now and then we're going to pray together. Awesome. We're going to pray right now. We're going to pray, and this is how it works. Even though I'm going to lead you in a prayer, the great thing is we're not praying to a totem pole. We're not praying to a statue. We're not praying to some icon. We're talking to the living God. And even though we're all going to say the same words, here's the fun part about it. He sees your heart. Remember, he sees behind the mask, and he sees your heart. We'll all pray the same prayer, but the question is for you personally, do you mean it? That's the thing. Do you mean it? Now listen, some of you might say later, oh yeah, when I prayed that, I felt like warm water go over my body. I've heard people say, when I prayed it, I felt a very mild, like electrical wave. Well, that's awesome. When I prayed it, I only felt hungry. I mean, I didn't feel anything. It was late at night and I was hungry and I didn't feel anything. But I knew this, that after I prayed, within an hour or two on my way home, my mind started thinking differently. I was shocked. The way I used to think for 19 years was changed. I began to think different. And I had funny thoughts like this. I'm going to buy a Bible. I wanted to know what the Bible said all of a sudden. And so listen, you're going to pray this prayer. And then number two, you're going to start reading your Bible. You all have Bibles now. We give you Bibles. And you're going to start in John's Gospel. And you're going to start reading. The reason why John's Gospel is because it displays the deity of Jesus. It answers so many questions. But this is important. Whatever questions you have in reading your Bible, don't call us. We don't want to hear from you for about a week or two. Because I love saying this. God is so real. Don't call us so quick. Don't go on the internet to find out what the answer is. Ask him, God, I don't know what that means. Tell me. God, show me what that means. And you're going to learn to hear the voice of God. And then if you're not sure after a week or two, then call us. And if myself or anybody on this campus points you to any answer other than the Bible, let me know. If it's me, you can fire me. If it's somebody else, I'll fire them for you. The answer's in the Bible. Our opinions matter nothing, okay? And so as you pray this prayer, let it fall from your lips. And Jesus says, in this moment, you'll be born from above. We use the term born again, born a second time. Jesus said, you'll be born from above. You'll be born brand new. Right now, you've only been born once. Right now, you're going to be born a second time. You've been born into your family once of the flesh. Now you're about to be born into the family of the Spirit. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I invite you into my life, and I'm asking you to change me. I receive your Holy Spirit, the conviction and the hope I have, I place in you. Today, I proclaim Jesus, having died for my sins, having risen from the dead, he is my Lord and Savior. So help me, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Finders Keepers, Losers Winners. Thanks for joining us for our teaching time today. Finders Keepers, Losers Winners is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to remind us that praying and trusting in God will bring to us a peace that passes all understanding. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, Pastor Jack.
Hey,
check this
baby.
Out. Yep. Me and Pastor Jack in the studio together.
I love it.
This is happening more and more. I like that.
I really do.
Yep. Hey, our book of the month. Can we talk about that real quick? It's by
Dr. A.E. Wilder, hyphenated, Smith. Dr. A.E. Okay. Wilder Smith.
It's titled, He Who Thinks Has to Believe.
Yeah.
I know nothing about this book. Help me with it.
You're not the only one.
Yeah.
Here's the reason why, by the way. First of all, it was written many years ago. Dr. Wilder Smith had 7 doctorates. He was a consultant to NATO, to the European Union. But number one thing above all, his passion and his love, listen, for Jesus is epic. And because of his genius, because of his brilliance, he took science and used it as an evangelistic tool.
No kidding.
So he has written many books. Some of them, most of you would never want to touch, not because it's not good. It's just because you don't have the brain capacity, nor do I.
Yeah.
For example, one of his books is titled A Cybronic Approach to the Evolutionary Theory, where he walks through the evolutionary claims by scientists, and he applies science to their claims and absolutely debunks their claims based on just secular, right? I say secular, just on science.
Really?
So this book is a book that we have actually, friends, listen up, we've never done this before. We tried to get it, and it was out of print. And we chased down permission to get this book up. And I think our first run was just around 7,000 books we have right now. And here's why you're going to want it. Here's why we went through the effort to make it a book of the month.
Okay.
Is because if you have a junior higher, high schooler, and certainly a college age kid who is either struggling with the existence of God or is now being swayed to leave their faith, or just doesn't believe at all, period, in the supernatural, the creator God of the universe, you're going to want to read this book. Here's the reason why. Dr. Wilder Smith had the same troubles, trying to communicate to people, but they weren't listening.
Okay.
And so he broke away from his norm, and he wound up taking the C.S. Lewis approach. And that is this. He wrote an allegorical book called He Who Thinks Has to Believe, and it challenges you to look around at your observable universe, and he forces you to draw conclusions. Mm-hmm. He's going to make you think while you're enjoying an allegory. Mm-hmm. The story is about a plane that goes down in a jungle, and it begins there, and you will be fascinated with the very, very C.S. Lewis, Chronicles of Narnia type of J.R.R. Tolkien, Lord of the Rings approach.
Okay.
And kids are going to love the story, but it's going to come to a conclusion to where, oh my gosh, there must be a God.
Yeah.
Because if I think, I have to believe.
Yeah.
If I choose to just simply amuse myself, then I can stay in unbelief. Because if I'm amused, I never muse. And to muse is to ponder.
Right, right, right.
So look, we're sitting here just moments away from numerous Southern California amusement parks.
Sure.
Why did we build them in the first place? Because we wanted to escape life and reality.
Yeah.
So instead of musing on our world, we created amusement parks so we could go to a place and not think.
Okay.
What Wilder Smith does with this is he gets you truth without you expecting it to arrive like it does.
Okay. He Who Thinks Has to Believe by Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith. It's a great book, and it's our book of the month for the month of February. You can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.